loved by Jesus and he has pursued you. He has died for you. He has been raised for you. He reigns over all and he is soon returning for you. And this is a gospel that we grab hold of. Jesus is alive and that changes everything. Let's go to our King and seek him in prayer. Oh Jesus, we praise your name for your faithfulness from generation to generation. There is no one like you. You reign and you rule over all. We praise you for your unchanging character, your beauty and majesty. Thank you, Jesus, that you have pursued us. You did not leave us as orphans, but you have come to us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, how you have taken up residence in the hearts and lives of believers. You have sealed us until the day of redemption, that we have hope over the grave. We have confidence that no matter what we face, we have Christ. So, Father, I pray you would strengthen the faith of your people today. Remind them, Lord, of who they are in Christ. That we belong to you both now and forever. And Lord, for those who are coming today carrying a heavy weight, God, may they cast their cares upon you because you care for us. You set us free. And oh God, I thank you, Lord, for even moments like this in which we get to open your word. Oh Lord, would you teach, instruct, encourage, conform us into the image of Christ, strengthen your church, mobilize us for mission, and may the gospel go forth in and through your people. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate Jesus today, church? Praise his name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So thankful. So grateful for Chuck and his team coming and leading out this weekend for our Disciple Now weekend. Just incredible. I'm so thankful for a student ministry that is so intentional about wanting to see teenagers come to faith in Christ. Because that's our heartbeat as a church. We desire to see future generations put their hope in Christ, to trust in him. And so we leverage that because we desire to see those generations even yet to have been born, that they too would put their hope in Christ. You see, it was up in Louisville, Kentucky, that a friend of mine, he grew up in a family with parents who loved Jesus and modeled the gospel. They were connected to a healthy local church. When he became a teenager, he rebelled against his parents' teaching. He walked away from Jesus. Sin and pride grabbed hold of his heart and his life. But then the youth pastor at that church came and met with him, began discipling him, praying for him, began investing into his life. He eventually humbles himself, gives his life to Christ. Jesus drastically transforms him. He begins attending classes at the University of Kentucky, where he begins having an incredible ministry. He is a powerhouse for the gospel, leading many to faith in Christ, including having an influence on my wife coming to faith in Christ. This young teenager is now one of my best friends. His name is Nathan. He now pastors one of the largest churches in Indiana. And he continues to encourage and instruct and pour into me. Why? All because when he was a teenager, he had a youth pastor who cared about him and discipled him and spoke truth into his life. A healthy church that said, we want to reach future generations with the gospel. We want to see people who even those who have yet to have been born, that they might put their hope in Christ. And Westwood, that is what we desire, to be a church that wants to reach future generations, even those yet to have been born, so that they might put their hope in God. That is what Asaph, the psalm writer, is driving home in Psalm 78. Let me show you. Grab your Bible and turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Now, the message today is going to feel a little bit different than a typical Sunday morning message. We're going to take some time to look at the scriptures. We're going to unpack the text, see what it looks like in light of Jesus. But we're also going to have some time where it's going to have almost like a family meeting, a family gathering. If you're a visitor today, we are so grateful you are here. And I'm excited that you're going to get to hear a part of the things that God is doing in our church and where we're going into the future. But this is going to have a different feel to it. And as you're turning to Psalm 78, now, Lord willing, next week we're going to begin a sermon series through the Sermon on the Mount called Mountain People. And we're going to look at the teachings of Jesus and what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom. But in Psalm 78, it's written by Asaph. He is a prophet. He is a lead worship leader under the leadership of King David. And he's a songwriter. He's authored 12 of the 150 Psalms. And according to 2 Chronicles 29, Asaph was a very skilled musician. Well, in Psalm 78, beginning with verse 1, this is a song that he wrote. Scripture says this, "My people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our fathers have passed down to us. We will not hide them from their children, but will tell the future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might and the wondrous works he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands." In Psalm 78, Asaph begins a review of Israel's history, and he highlights two things: God's faithfulness and Israel's continuous rebellion. If we were to fast forward through verses 9 through 72, he begins to unpack just the history from the Exodus all the way up to the leadership of King David. But as we read our Bibles through the lens of Luke 24 and the way that Jesus taught us to read our Old Testament in light of himself, we understand Psalm 78 that it points to a future shepherd king, one who would shepherd God's people, one who would lead God's people, one who is a new and greater David, who would shepherd a new Israel with a pure heart. And he will guide his people with a skillful hand. Psalm 78 outlines lessons from Israel's past while also emphasizing the importance of teaching future generations of who God is and what he has done. I want you to notice in the text this morning three essentials for how we as a church can be faithful and effective in impacting future generations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first essential I want you to see is that God's word must always be central. God's word must always be central. Asaph opens with an invocation, a call to God's people to lean in, to sit on the edge of their seat, to listen. He says, verse 1, "Hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will," verse 2, "declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past." Verse 3, "things we have heard and known that our fathers have passed down to us." Now, Matthew, in his gospel, he cross-references this exact passage from Psalm 78. He connects this psalm to the teaching ministry of Jesus, that Jesus is the one who is the master teacher. He is the prophet of God who speaks the very words of God himself. In Matthew 13, the text says, "Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables, and he did not tell them anything without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled." Psalm 78, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will declare things kept secret from the foundation of the world." You see, Psalm 78 is pointing us to Jesus, the master teacher, the true prophet of God. He is the very word of God. That God, the word, has taken on flesh and dwelt among us. See, God's word always points to the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is through the word, through our Bibles, that we learn about who the word is and what he came and did for us. For Jesus is the one who lived that perfect sinless life that you couldn't live. He was perfect in all of his ways. He kept God's law perfectly. He dies on the cross as a payment towards God for your sin. That his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. That no matter what you've done, no matter your past, Jesus' blood speaks a better word. And he bled and died on your behalf. And he gladly died. He volunteered with joy. Hebrews tells us that Jesus bled and died on your behalf. And he was buried, but he didn't stay there. For on the third day, he came back to life and Jesus defeated death. He is risen and risen indeed. Death itself could not hold him. He is the Savior of the world. He is the master teacher, the true prophet of God, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the one who came for you. So anybody who turns from sin, trusts in Jesus by faith, those who bank their souls upon him, you are rescued, forgiven, redeemed, saved, adopted. You belong to him forever. This is good news that we grab hold of. The only way we know that is because of the Word. The Word of God is what reveals the Word of God. That we as a church have to understand, faithfulness necessitates putting God's Word center stage. Not only in our large group gatherings, our small group gatherings, and our D groups, we are people who rally around the Word. Why? Because God has spoken, and he has revealed himself, and so we must hold fast. So if we're going to be faithful in reaching future generations with the gospel, God's Word must always be central. But number two, the second essential, is that our teaching must always be intentional. It must always be intentional. Asaph is re-emphasizing to Israel the importance of passing down God's Word to future generations. Look at verse 2. He says, I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries. Verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, but we will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord. Westwood, we have a purpose. We have something we are to be about. If we're going to be faithful in passing the faith on once for all, delivered to the saints and to future generations, we've got to be intentional. If we do not speak, if we do not teach, if we are not intentional in reaching future generations will forget who God is. That's what happened under King Manasseh. For more than five decades, he ruled as king over Israel. Not only was God forgotten, his word even got lost. So much so that when you get to 2 Kings 22, we see there's a new king on the scene, King Josiah. He raises the funds to renovate and to fix the temple. As they're renovating the temple, the high priest discovers the law of God. God's word had not only gotten forgotten, it had gotten lost. Two generations had come through in which they had completely forgotten who God was and who he is and what he had done. And they had just forgotten and they lost it. They find the word of God. They begin reading it and revival breaks out. We have to be intentional about teaching future generations who God is and what he is like, or they will forget him. We have to be intentional because we desire to see future generations put their hope in God. So the first essential, God's word must always be central. Second essential, our teaching must always be intentional. The third essential, our strategy must always be multi-generational. Asaph says, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord. So that, verse 6, a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children. Why? So that, verse 7, they might put their confidence in God. They might put their hope in God and not forget his works, but keep his commands. Westwood, our mission is investing in people who will impact their world for Jesus. We're investing in future future generations, even those yet to have been born. Why? Because we want to see the gospel go forth to those who have not even been born yet. We want our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and even those who haven't even come on the scene yet, to treasure Christ above all things, so that they might put their hope in God, verse 7. So that they would not forget God's works, they might obey his commands. You see, multi-generational faithfulness to Jesus is the goal for every church and family. Now, make no mistake, God is the one who saves. God is the one who will have to change the hearts of your great-great-grandchildren to trust in Jesus. He has to be the one who does it. And yet, Asaph is driving home in Psalm 78 that we play a role in that right now. In the here and now, we play a role in reaching future generations with the gospel. So here's what I'd like for us to do. I want to take some time to unpack some various ways, some highlights, a 30,000-foot view of ways that we're doing that right here as a faith family. I introduced to our church last year the LIFT Initiative. It's a vision in which we want to see God use us as a church to reach the nations and our neighbors with the gospel of Jesus Christ. How are we going to do that? Through three platforms: LIFT Churches, LIFT Local, LIFT Global. With LIFT Churches, we want to see healthy churches planted and established all throughout Shelby County. Last week, we got to celebrate the one-year anniversary of Westwood and Espanol. Just an incredible celebration of God's faithfulness and how he's using Pastor Pipe in his church to engage our community and reach Spanish-speaking people with the gospel. Last Sunday night, we came back in this room and there were 116 Hispanic-speaking people sitting here watching three teenage sisters get baptized. And it was awesome, man. Can we celebrate Jesus for that? Man, it was so good. It was so good. And we want more of that. Pipe shared with us, we're already making plans that, Lord willing, in 2026, we want to plant another Hispanic church. Why? Because we want more people to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. We need more healthy churches reaching more people with the gospel. With LIFT Local, last year we started a new ministry, English as a Second Language. Did you know that since we started it, we have people from 10 different countries meeting every week? They're not only learning English, but they're hearing the gospel. 2 weeks from now, we're starting Spanish as a second language. Why? We want to train and equip Westwood members to learn how to share the gospel with our Spanish-speaking neighbors in our community. We are a gospel people. We have a message to declare, and so we want to learn the language of the people so that we can be intentional in sharing Jesus with those who are right here around us. Last year, we launched a new ministry called Harvest House, an incredible ministry that is a food bank that is ministering to the needs of hungry families right here in our community. Every 2 weeks, we are feeding over 150 families with more than 60 volunteers. Isn't that amazing? I just want to praise the Lord for that. We're doing this. We're working with 8 nonprofit partners to care for people right here in our community. We're praying with people, sharing the gospel with people as they come through, they get their meals. We're building relationships. There was one lady who came through our Harvest House, and I heard the story that she wasn't a believer, which, hey, that's awesome. We're going to share the gospel. We're going to serve you. We're going to take care of you. We're going to make sure we want you to know Jesus. One of our Harvest House volunteers was intentional with following up with her, shared the gospel with her, led her to faith in Christ. That lady died 2 weeks later. It's amazing. We have no idea how God is using our ministries to reach people with the gospel. And by the way, you're a part of that. Through your praying and through your giving, we are a part of seeing people coming to faith in Christ, people getting baptized, churches being planted. We're starting new ministries to care for people right here in our community, and we get to do it together. And because of your generosity and your faithfulness and your giving, oh my goodness, God is doing incredible things by his grace. We've heard about LIFT Churches. We've heard about LIFT Local, and there's so many more things we could unpack there. We've also got LIFT Global. We've identified some strategic global partners that in 2025, we're going to be sending you internationally. Many of you are going to be grabbing your passports and getting on an airplane to go and take the gospel of Jesus to those who have never heard. And we get to do it together. We're going to be sending out to you very soon a packet of information that's going to have all the information of the international mission trips that we're going to have next year. Why? Because we want to send you. We want to be a church that gets the gospel to the nations. God is doing such an amazing thing in and through our church. And what he's doing is that he takes even the smallest obedience and he's able to multiply it for his glory. Let's not mistake that. Yes, God's at work in the big things, but God is also at work in the small things. And I'm so thankful for his faithfulness in and through his people. Let's talk about some ways that God is working even right here on our campus. In our student ministry last Sunday, we had 151 teenagers sitting in circles, Bibles open, studying the Word of God together. Praise the Lord. That's just the beginning. Can we celebrate God for that? I'm so grateful. As a dad with four teenage sons, that my heart is full, knowing that we are wanting to reach the future generations with the gospel. This weekend was Disciple Now Weekend. It's the largest D Now we have ever heard or ever had as a church in the history of our church. So if you're sitting on top of a Nerf bullet, that is why. Okay? Which I love. Because we're trying to reach teenagers with the gospel. Let me tell you about last Sunday. We had more than 300 preschoolers on our campus last Sunday. 300. Isn't that amazing? Like 300 babies and toddlers that are here being loved on and cared for and sung over and being taught the Bible. This is an incredible thing, but we're trying to figure out space. Where do we put them? We're trying to figure it out. But I'll also say this, we need volunteers. If you're not serving anywhere, we need you. Please stop by the preschool desk today. Kaylee Jones will be there. She's prepared. And she'd love to talk with you about equipping you and placing you so that you can be used as by God to be investing in future generations. I also want to bring up today where we are financially as a church. In 2024, we set our budget at $3.65 million. That was our budget. That's our goal for our impact fund is what we call it. We are currently on pace to surpass our budget. I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for your generosity and your faithfulness. And you see all these stories of what God is doing through church plants and feeding hungry families and caring for kids and sharing the gospel with teenagers. You're part of this because of your generosity and your faithfulness and your giving. Thank you for that. It's amazing. Four out of the last 5 years have been the largest offerings in Westwood history, and we are currently on pace for that again this year. I just want to say thank you. Praise God for how he's using your generosity and your faithfulness through your giving. I also want to take a moment and thank the Lord for our financial teams. There are some really gifted, godly men and women who oversee our church finances, and they do a phenomenal job. They're very smart and strategic. I don't know if you realize this, but our air conditioning units are going out. They're about 18 years old. It costs $1 million to replace the air conditioning units. I didn't know if you knew this or not, but you need air conditioning in Alabama. But thankfully, our financial teams have been stewarding God's money faithfully over the scope of 3 years, spending $300,000 a year. We're paying off that amount, and we're taking care of each of those units so that we can sit here and gather without sweating to death, okay? I'm grateful for their foresight and because of your generosity, and you're already giving to the Impact Fund through your tithes and offerings, and because of their stewardship, we're in a really good place where we don't have to take up a special offering to keep the air conditioning running. I just want to say thank you for that. Did you know that every year we audit our finances? We invite a third party to come in and look at our finances. They can ask any question, look at anything they want to. We expose all of our books. And every year we pass with flying colors, and they compliment and affirm us for our best practices of managing the resources that God has in trusted to us. Again, God has been so kind to our church. Now, in 2006, Westwood made the move from Thompson Road to our current campus. And because of that move, it was very strategic. But by faith, the church trusted the Lord and invested in investing in seeing the kingdom impacted right here and now. And I'm so grateful for that generation that said, we want to make sure that we can be reaching future generations and new people with the gospel. Now, when the church moved here, the church took on a whole lot of debt. 10 years ago, our debt in 2014 was at more than $10.5 million. As of November of this year, our debt will be down to $3.9 million. Can we celebrate Jesus for that? Man. I'm just so grateful for your generosity and the stewardship of those who manage our funds, but God's kindness and grace and favor towards our church. But simultaneously, we are facing some challenges, growth challenges. We're facing space challenges specifically in three areas: with kids, with students, and with special needs ministry. Our kids' worship space is designed to hold 80 kids. There are some Sundays where we have 110 in that room. Our students have been meeting in kids' classrooms because there has not been space for them anywhere else on campus. That creates some challenges for our staff. You see, we are regularly standing in front of a whiteboard trying to map out where everyone is located, where groups are going, and where we can place people. But like a domino effect, if we move one group, it affects everybody. And so students, in many ways, have been like nomads, and we're trying to find places to put them rather than find create space where we could place them. But we also, as we've been thinking through things, we're trying to address it to the best of our ability with the facilities we currently have. Now, if you remember, last year, our 9:30 service, which is now 9:15, was our biggest service. I mean, there was not a lot of space in here. There would be some Sundays which visitors would come in, they would see the room, there'd be no open seats, and they would turn around and walk out. Okay, we had some space at the 10:45 service. So what we did was we moved our student ministry small group hour to this hour, which opened up several hundred seats. And now not only has this service filled back up, but now this next service is also filling back up. So now we have a balance of the two services. In fact, I saw a few weeks ago that the numbers of the two services are identical. So by God's grace, we're moving, we're placing, we're being strategic. God is showing favor and grace. But y'all, these are challenges nonetheless. Now we're back to three services. And you notice that last week we changed our service times to 8, 9:15, and 10:45. We didn't do that just to keep you guessing. Okay, this is not a shell game. It's because we're trying to be strategic. We're thinking through parking lots, where are people going, spaces, how do we move people in and out so that we have a place for everybody to gather where they can rally around the word, they can study the scriptures together. It takes all of us thinking through those things. Now, last month, I spent a Sunday morning hanging out upstairs in our sunshine room. Incredible volunteer leaders who are investing in special need kids and families. Y'all, there's no more space for wheelchairs. Room's full. And that bothers me because there are many people right here in our community who would love to go to church, but they can't because many churches are not prepared or equipped to take care of their kids. I was speaking this week with one of the leading special needs coordinators of a school system here in our area, in which I asked him about what's the number we're looking at of number of kids and families, the number of kids in our school system that have special needs. He said more than 600. That's a lot of families. I would love to make sure that we're finding a way to create space so that they can come and gather and they can worship. We also, church, need to find a way to provide an overhang so that people can get into our church safely and dry. Last year, on a Wednesday night, it was an absolute downpour of rain, and it was chaos as people were running to their cars, trying to get their kids in strollers. It was mayhem. And as I'm trying to wrangle all five of my kids into our car and trying to get organized, I'm looking off in the distance, and there is a single mom with two special needs, teenage sons, in which she is single-handedly picking up her boys in the pouring rain, placing them in the car, folding up the wheelchairs, and sliding them into the trunk, drenched. And I thought, that should not be. We got to fix that. And so with all of these things, church, here's where we are. We need to build an overhang that can provide a way for single moms and special needs families and preschool families. They can get into our church campus safely into a place. Y'all, it's hard enough to get to church on a Sunday. You single moms are heroes. I don't know how you do it. But spiritual warfare happens Sunday mornings. Many of you were, there was lots of screaming in the car on the way here, by the way. I know that. I'm so proud of you for being here. It's hard work, especially when you have young kids. I'm so proud of you. We got to make that easier. We're at a place in which we need to build a multi-purpose building, a space that allows us to address our student ministry growth, Hispanic ministry. I'd love to start a counseling ministry, a place where senior adults can gather for fellowships. I'd love to create a space where there are small groups in this multi-purpose building. It's time for us to renovate the second floor so that the special needs ministry can expand and they can have their needs met. Now, this past November, we as a church began to pray and we put together a building team led by Joe Davis. And so I've asked Joe Davis today to come and share with us an update of their findings. And so I want to invite Joe to come on up here and he's going to share with us, church, about the things they've been working on as a building team and what this is going to look like for us as a church moving forward. Now, something Joe mentioned in the first service, I didn't realize. Man, you've been a member here for 40 years. Is that right, Joe?
I have.
Man, you're old.
I guess so. So, good morning, church family. So my name is Joe Davis, for those of you that don't know me. I'm obviously been a member here for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So you gave me 30 minutes, right?
Oh, boy. Okay?
Just kidding. So I'm a mechanical engineer by trade, and it's kind of the world that I live in. Yeah. Churches are one of the many types of clients that I work for on a day-to-day basis. Hmm. And so I really want to kind of pull back the curtain a little bit. So Kenneth approached me about, hey, I want you to look at putting together a building team. What he didn't do is he did not come up to me and say, Joe, we need to go build a building. It needs to be this big. It needs to cost this much. That's not what he did. What he did was he said, hey, Joe, I need you to put together a team. We have needs. I need you to figure out what those needs are and what do we really need to build. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what our team was tasked with. So I want to introduce the team. So if you would put the team up there. So Joe Davis, myself, and then Rick Callahan on staff, and then Corey Elliott on staff in our student world, and then Travis Bentley, Heather Elliott, Steve Harless, and John Morris. These folks are super, I mean, they're just the best team because they have a wealth of knowledge in either construction or real estate, and then our church staff members that know all about our needs as far as numbers and our ministry needs. And so back in November, we started meeting. We met consistently for about 6 months, really going through what are all of our needs in each area and then kind of trying to figure out what do we need to build and what are our potentials to do that with. So what we did is we engaged a local architect to kind of help us take these ideas and putting our actual ideas on paper. I want to kind of walk you through the three things that we were trying to do. So we really had three areas of focus, and it was a multi-purpose building. Mm-hmm. It was also the Sunshine Room renovation and trying to get them appropriate space, and then also an overhang. But here's the thing. How big does it need to be? Mm-hmm. Where does it need to go? And how long is it going to take, and what might it cost? So those are really all the things that we met on and went through many, many revisions to try and get to really where we are today. Mm-hmm. So we met with Rick Callahan and Corey Elliott as far as staff goes to really figure out, hey, how many kids and students and how many do we have that are coming regularly and what's our future potential growth? Because mm-hmm. we don't want to build something immediately and then be right out of space.
Yeah.
So we looked at all of those things, really a culmination of 6 months. We kind of got to where we are today. So what I'd love to say, this is really an exciting time because what I want to show you is what this can look like and what we potentially can build on campus to really meet all those needs. Mm. So I want you to see first is really what the multi-purpose building can look like. So let's put that up on the screen. So a multi-purpose building that has two floors and a big worship room, and this is really what that can look like. You can have small, intimate funerals, weddings, multi-purpose events in the room that has movable tables and chairs. Let's face it, this is a really big room to have smaller events in. And this gives us a great opportunity to have a space that is multifunctional that you can use for a lot of different events, for Hispanic ministry, for counseling ministry, students on Sunday, definitely. Yeah. It has classroom space as well as just a large multi-purpose room. You can go to the next slide. So one thing that we've got is an overhang over part of the existing playground area. And that way, even our playground area has a shaded and dry area that you can kind of still utilize the playground.
Yeah.
Okay, next slide. So here's kind of a two-story commons, kind of really nice common area as you enter the building before you go into the large functional space and really a worship space. And there's another look from a different angle. And then the next slide, we can look at what the multi-purpose big room can look like. So this is movable chairs. That way you can kind of use it for different things. And so let's go to the next slide. All right, so here you can see this is what our existing area looks like up near room. There's kind of a bigger room, 213 upstairs. The students have an area that has some games. It's a common area. This is what that looks like today. Well, the sunshine room is that bottom left corner where there's kind of a little blue rectangle. And then if you go to the next slide, you can show what we can do is we can give back that classroom to the children's ministry and then build a wall to make the sunshine room larger. But also, one of the needs in the Sunshine Room is they do not have a handicap accessible restroom that's right there in the room. They have to go out into the hallway and around and go to the restrooms that are already there. Well, what we'd like to do is to really build a handicap accessible restroom inside the room. And that way, they don't have to leave to go to that restroom. And it has all the needs that they have for wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing that we would love to do there. You can go to the next slide. So here's what that sunshine room renovation can look like. Bright colors, a great space for them to just use and give room for not only the students, but also the leaders. And that way they have plenty of room to move around and can grow.
That's good.
Next slide there. So here's an example of what a large handicap accessible restroom could look like in that space. And then last, we've got what an overhang can look like. So if you envision an overhang that kind of is large enough that you can actually pull multiple vehicles, you know, kind of lined up together and you can drop off and then just pull on through. And that way it's quick and you can it's not a big headache to get through there. And there's an area that we can do that easily. But it also can help meet that need of let's get everybody in the building safely and dry.
That's
really the goal for that.
Joe, that is incredibly helpful. I'm so grateful for you and your team and all of your hard work. Thank you so much, brother.
Yes,
I'm grateful for you, Joe. Thank you so much. We thank the Lord for Joe and his team. Thank you, brother. After the service, Joe and his team are going to be upstairs in the upper atrium, and they're going to have drawings, renderings, blueprints that you can look at on tables. They'll be there to answer any question that you might have. They are here to serve you. And so if you have any questions, you can certainly go see them after the service in the second floor atrium. So you've had a chance to see what this space could look like. All right. So what is the cost? The cost for all three phases is $5.65 million. With that cost right there, it has three phases. The first phase is the overhang. The second phase would be the multi-purpose building. The third phase would be a renovation for the Sunshine Room and Special Needs Ministry. With that being the case, the reason they're in phases is, again, because we are so saturated in our space with people, the Special Needs Ministry cannot move into a new space until we get the students out of that space, which is why we need the multi-purpose building before we can move them up there. You see, there are several different layers to this. And so these are things we're thinking through strategically. But I also want you to know this. As your pastor, this has been one of the hardest things I've had to deal with. This has been really hard. Because as we've been growing as a church and reaching a lot of people for Jesus, we simultaneously want to be good stewards of our finances and we want to lead well through this, but we're at a point in which we just don't know what else to do. And honestly, the decision to have to move forward with this is a weighty one. Something I've really wrestled through, and I'm not exaggerating when I'm telling you, I've prayed over this for years, asking the Lord to give us wisdom and grace and direction. And as we want to be wise on how we move forward financially, we want to make sure we're being good stewards. And though financing this project has been an option that our leadership has considered, we do not feel it is wise at this time to finance $5.65 million. So, Kenneth, what are you calling us to? Well, I'm inviting you to join many others in giving above and beyond towards Project 78. In fact, that's the impact point that I'm challenging our church with, seeking to move forward with this mission of reaching future generations. That as you faithfully and financially invest in the Impact Fund, that's our general budget, I want to invite you to give above and beyond towards Project 78. We're going to keep you regularly updated on where we are as a church in the process and how much money has been raised and how we're moving forward. We're going to do that. Why? Because we're family. In family, we communicate. We work through these things together. Having family meetings like this one in which we get to gather, we get to worship, hear the word, but also discuss things that we're wrestling through as a church. And even though $5.65 million is the dollar amount that's been required for all three phases, $100,000 has already been given to get this thing started. We're already moving forward on trying to fulfill this. So the question is, what does that look like for you personally? Maybe you're here today and you've not been giving at all. I want you to know Jesus still loves you. But secondly, what an opportunity to jump in and jump in what God's doing in the kingdom. That you get to financially be involved in advancing the mission of the gospel. This is an opportunity for you to do that. Maybe you've been giving, but it's not quite at a level that you know that you could, by faith, trusting Jesus to get to. Maybe you're kind of comfortable where you are, and maybe God's leading you to step out and say, I want you to trust me in this. I want to show myself faithful in your life through your generosity. What does that look like for you? Maybe you've already been giving generously and faithfully to our church, but God has provided another stream of income or some money has appeared into your life. And you're thinking, man, how can I invest this in the kingdom? This is an opportunity to do that. You can do it online. You can do it through the Westwood app. You can jump in on this. You can designate your dollars to go towards this. But this is an opportunity in which you get to invest in the kingdom. But here's what I know. For us as a church, God's word is going to remain central. Our faithful teaching is going to continue to be intentional. Our strategy is going to continue to be multi-generational. We're going to keep playing offense with the gospel. We're going to keep preaching Jesus. We're going to keep inviting people to trust in Christ, to turn from their sins and believe upon him. We're going to keep investing in people who will impact their world for Jesus. The mission does not change. And we're going to keep moving forward for the sake of the gospel. But I'll say this. I'm so grateful that a church in Louisville was intentional in reaching future generations. Because they did, my family's lives have been changed forever. We as a church get to do that together. Through intentionally investing in future generations for the glory of King Jesus, God is going to use us to advance his mission and to build his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, we are people in desperate need of you. Apart from you, we have nothing and we are nothing. And so, Father, we just pause and we humble ourselves before you. Father, you know our needs better than we do. And so we ask in Jesus' name, would you show yourself strong and faithful as our provider? You love to show off your power. You love to provide for your children. And so I pray in Jesus' name, God, would you go before us in this weighty task, Lord, find us faithful, of people who are going hard after Jesus, wanting to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, that we're a people who want to know Christ. And Father, we desire to see future generations yet to have been born, putting their hope in Jesus. So Father, would you find us as a church that is used by you for the advancement of your kingdom, for the fame of your name. Father, what an opportunity we have before us, and I'm so grateful we get to do this together as a church. So Father, would you go before us, Give us grace and wisdom, direction and humility. Father, I pray that you would raise up the level of generosity in the hearts of your people with our time, our resources, our money, that God, we would leverage all that we have for the fame of King Jesus. Lord, what a return on investment of investing in the kingdom that lasts beyond our brief temporary lives. So God, here we are. Use us for the fame of Jesus. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Church, I'm so grateful to God for you. Thank you for your grace and patience as we walk through this together as a church. I'm grateful we're family. And if you're here today, and you're interested in being a part of our faith family, I hope you are, because God's doing some pretty amazing things. In just a few minutes, we have what's called Discover Westwood. It's a new member class, but it's a chance for you to hear about mission and vision, where we're going as a church. You get to meet several staff members, and this is your first step towards church membership. It'll be right here behind the cafe. If you head on the atrium, just go right behind there. There's some glass doors. Discover Westwood will meet right in there. Childcare is already provided with preschool and children and students. They're going to be well taken care of. But it's a chance for you to come. It lasts an hour and give you a chance to hear about who we are as our church. Invite you to be a part of that. Also, next Saturday, we're doing what's called We Go, in which anybody who's a Westwood member, you'll be a part of evangelizing a community. We're meeting here, 8 o'clock. We're going to be trained up and we're going to be sent out and going into a neighborhood to share the gospel, to pray with people, to encourage people. I want to invite you to come and be a part of it. Just a really cool way to get our feet on the streets of caring for people right here in our area. Last thing I want to share with you is August 25th, we have what's called Baptism at the Creek. It's a really cool event in which we get to baptize people down at Orr Park in Montevallo. It's right after the service on that Sunday. And if you've never been baptized or you're a new believer and you want to take that next step, this is an opportunity for you to do that. If you want to be a part of that, before you leave, stop by the Next Steps double doors over here on my left. There are men and women who would love to talk with you about taking that next step, and whether it's following Jesus for the first time, wanting to get baptized, or you're going through something in your life and you would love for someone to pray with you, they would be honored to pray with you. I want you to know that above all these things, I love you so much, but Jesus loves you more. Let's go and let's impact our world for Jesus. May God richly bless you. We are sent. God bless you.